This morning's scripture reading will come from Luke 18:1-5. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them what they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, 'Even though I do not fear God or care what other people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come back and attack me.'"
Good morning. It's a very beautiful day out today. It's of course been a month since I've been with you, so I hope everyone has had a wonderful holiday season. It looks a little more like the holiday season today than it did during the holiday season. It's just a wonderful time. I hope that everybody had a wonderful holiday season, and I know that for myself, I teach school, so it's kind of like tomorrow is when the real world starts again for me. At least if there's not too much snow, maybe I'll have a little more holiday season if it's extended a little bit. We had a tremendous time with my family. It was just, you know, just a really great time. I'm so blessed. I'm so thankful. We watched a lot of movies. We spent a lot of time together. And during the holidays, you see a lot of, kids with gifts. And it always takes me back to when I was a kid and there was, you know, that one gift that I really, really wanted. And, you know, I was, again, even as a kid, just so blessed, you know, to receive gifts like that. And this morning, I'm wearing this sweater. There's several reasons for that. It's very comfortable. It's very warm. I like the way it looks. But it's also a little bit of an illustration because this happened to be a gift from my wonderful in-laws. And it kind of ties into a little bit to what I wanted to talk about this morning. Again, when I was a kid, it was, you know, there were these gifts and there were these things that I really wanted. And I remember getting, you know, my parents would show us catalogs and we would look at the things, you know, the toys that we kind of wanted. Not as many catalogs anymore, I know. And kind of an example, this wonderful sweater, I just showed my wife online what it was, and then in-laws, and now I've got it. And it's just such a blessing when you receive the things that you ask for. It was very gracious of them, and it kind of leads into this parable of Christ that I wanted to discuss with you this morning. It's a demonstration of how God hears us and demonstrates His love in that hearing and in listening to us. And I really appreciate our prayer this morning and talking about just how blessed we are to even have that opportunity. So I wanted to look at a couple main points from this parable. And the first is, you know, the persistence that we need to have in our prayer. And then later on, we'll look at just how loving and how just God is towards us in our prayer life. So we'll begin in Luke 18:1 and look at this widow and the persistence that she showed. And I'll read it again just so we kind of can kind of go point by point. But Luke 18:1, "And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, 'In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, "Give me justice against my adversary." Luke is the only gospel writer that records this specific parable. And Jesus even, you know, explicitly said that the purpose was for those who were listening to not lose heart in the face of earthly trials, in the face of temptation, in the face of persecution, which we know in the first century was, you know, a very real threat. Christ wants us to pray and not faint and not lose heart and stay encouraged. In 1 Thessalonians 5:16, we're taught to rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Without ceasing is the way that we are taught we should pray. And I don't think we should take that too literally, as in, you know, we're not in that kind of more focused state of prayer literally always. But I think it speaks to a lifestyle. It speaks to a habit. It speaks to like a core of who you are. My grandmother, you know, before she passed away, I remember on her refrigerator, she had a magnet, and it said, 7 days without prayer makes 1 week. And week was spelled W-E-A-K, you know, just kind of a play on 7 days being a week, but 7 days without prayer makes 1 week, makes you a weaker person. And I think it kind of speaks to that need for being engaged in prayer, to have that be a part of your life, a part of who you are. When you see people often, it seems like conversation is very easy. You know, there are people who I work with, I see them every day. There's not really any awkwardness. You know, I come in, I see them, we talk, we see each other all the time, my family. But there are some times where, and maybe this is more me, but if there's someone I haven't seen in a long time, maybe somebody who it's been years and I get to see them again, it does feel a little more awkward. It feels a little more difficult to communicate. You find yourself maybe doing small talk, and I'm probably not a great conversationalist to begin with, but I know that when I don't see people all the time, it's more difficult. There's not that strong connection. And I believe it's the same way in our speaking with God. Not that it's necessarily awkward if we haven't prayed for a while, but we can't maintain that connection with God if we're not speaking to Him often. Just like you don't maintain a strong relationship with someone if you speak to them a few minutes a day or once or twice a week. It's hard to connect with people when there's not that communication. And so with God, we're to pray without ceasing so that we can feel connected. We can feel engaged with Him. And it's really easy to see the benefits of prayer in your life. Speaking as someone who has had strengths, you know, times where that was stronger and times where that was weaker, I definitely notice a difference. And so if we see those benefits, it kind of brings up the thought then, why do we sometimes struggle? What are some of the obstacles that are in our way from being consistent, from being someone who prays without ceasing? I know myself, sometimes I just feel like I'm distracted by things. And again, that's not an excuse. It's just maybe an honest statement of what happens, of what I get, you know, kind of pulled away by. I'm not usually the person who thinks, you know, things in the past were always better. They were always easier. I know sometimes it kind of feels like that. There are some things from the past that probably weren't as good either. But I think that in this one particular area, I do think it was probably easier years ago to just not feel distracted. I know when I was younger, I feel like it was, and again, maybe it's just me, but it was easier to just stand in a line and wait. I mean, even at like the grocery store or something, if I'm in a line and I'm third in line, I take out my phone to do something. And I don't think I used to be like that, but I think just having those types of things, having so much immediate information and just so much technology and things, I think it does kind of, I feel more distracted all the time. It's harder for me to just sit. And maybe that's affecting how easy it is for me to pray also, to just quiet out everything, to not feel a pull of a phone or a computer or communicating with somebody or television, but just to put those things out of my mind and concentrate on communicating with God. So it is easy, at least for me, to be distracted. And I think another obstacle is maybe sometimes we kind of have the feeling that prayer doesn't require effort, that it's just something that kind of happens and we do it, and it doesn't pull our full focus. In Luke chapter 22, verse 44, referring to Christ, "And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground." Now, prayer isn't a burden, but that doesn't mean that it doesn't require effort, that it doesn't require attention, that it doesn't require emotion. The word engage, I think, is a very strong one to me. I know at work, at school, that word kind of comes up a lot in my mind. Because there are students who, you know, they're sitting there, maybe they're not being disruptive, maybe they're doing kind of what they're supposed to be doing, and maybe from the outside, just looking at it, you'd say they're doing what a student should be doing. But there's a big difference between that and really, you know, being engaged and really following along and really giving attention to it and taking the things that are being taught and applying it to what they know and building those, you know, connections that they can apply it. There's really a difference between just kind of going through the motions and really being engaged in what you're trying to learn. And I think that that's kind of true, again, in my prayer life. Sadly, I know there are times where I'll go through a prayer or it's a public prayer, and again, to the outside, it may look like I'm doing what I should be doing. And maybe even in my own mind, I'm telling myself, like, this is, you know, I'm doing what I should be doing right now. But to really engage yourself and to really focus and to have that be a meaningful communication with God and to truly feel it is something I know I can work on, because I don't do that the way that I wish I did all the time. And then the last thing that I'll kind of mention in this first point is, and maybe another reason is because we have maybe not a conscious, but maybe a little bit of a subconscious doubt creeping in about the effectiveness of prayer. And I know that, you know, if we asked ourselves, do we believe that prayer works, that prayer means something, we would say yes. But are we really feeling that? Are we really believing that every time that we pray, that's having an effect in our lives and in this world, in the lives of others? James chapter 5, excuse me, verse 6, "Therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power, as it is working." I think it's important that we remember that great power that prayer has as we are praying. I've noticed in the last few years, again, maybe this ties to kind of things that are online, but when there's tragedies or something happens, people will say, you know, our thoughts and prayers go out with you. And that phrase, thoughts and prayers, is kind of taken on a significance. And I've seen a bit of a backlash against that idea, where it's almost a little criticized. It's kind of used as shorthand for something that's not really doing anything. And people will say, you know, thoughts and prayers aren't enough. Thoughts and prayers aren't fixing the problem, whatever the problem might be. And I don't think that Christians should only pray. I think that we're taught to let our actions be visible as well, to glorify God. So it's not to say that, you know, if someone's hungry, we pray for them and don't give them something to eat. If there's, you know, a tragedy where someone loses their home in a fire or something like that, it's not that we shouldn't try to help them in a temporal way, in a physical way. But I don't think we should ever belittle the impact and the power of our prayers and the spiritual help that can come from that I can't hand somebody. But to pray that through whatever they're going through, they can be strengthened spiritually, that they can grow in their faith, that it might even be something that brings them or someone else to Christ. Those are things that we can pray for. And those are things that are important to pray for. And those are things that God has told us our prayers can be effective in accomplishing. So that was some thoughts about, you know, the need to be persistent in prayer and the importance of prayer and some of the things that may challenge us in that. But then to finish the lesson and to look at the parable a little further is to look at how just and how loving God is in our prayer life. The widow is a model of that persistence. She kept coming to the judge over and over again and would not cease. And in this parable, God will illustrate that He will hear us and reward our persistence. So going back to Luke 18, picking up in verse 4. For a while, the judge refused to answer the widow. But afterward, he said to himself, "Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming." And that's not a hard thing to believe. That kind of tracks. That kind of makes sense as something that would happen. Somebody just being, okay, you know, you wore me down, I'll give you what you want. But the picture of this judge is pretty unfavorable. It says he didn't fear God. So he wasn't concerned with doing God's will and in obeying God out of some form of love for God. He wasn't afraid of God's judgment or punishment. Those things didn't guide his actions. And in addition to that, he wasn't compelled to do right by man either. He wasn't concerned with how they would feel. And sometimes even if somebody doesn't believe in God or want to follow God, you know, even for the sake of their own reputation or their own relationships, they'll try to do right by other people. But this judge in the parable does not seem to have those principles. He seems to act selfishly or arbitrarily. So if you're not concerned with God or man, I mean, there's not a whole lot else except yourself that you're concerned with. And this widow who comes to this, you know, unfavorably viewed judge is a symbol of someone who couldn't advocate for herself. She didn't have a husband who could speak up on her behalf. She was a woman without a husband. She apparently does not seem to have much power or sway in any kind of earthly sense. The Gospel Advocate commentary states, she was asking to be delivered from the oppression of her adversary. She couldn't assert it on her own. She couldn't advocate very well for herself. So she needed someone else to. And she was persistent in asking for it. And the judge wouldn't hear because he didn't care. He wasn't concerned with her. Yet, initially, again and again, pushing her away, eventually he relents because she's going to keep bothering me and for my own sake, I will give in. And this actually comes from a Greek word. This kind of keeps bothering me or wearing me out. Clark mentions that it's kind of like a metaphor for boxing, like just being, you know, beaten down over and over again and just relenting. Yeah, and just saying, you know, I give in, you know, that's, you got me. I don't want any more blows. Like, it's over. And so the judge relents and hears her just so he can get relief. Now, the point of this parable, of course, isn't to compare this judge with God. It's not to deliver us the message that, you know, God doesn't care about us. He's not that loving. But if we bother him enough, he'll relent and hear our prayers. That's, of course, not the point. Luke chapter 18 and verse 6, so the next verse in Luke 18. And the Lord said, "Hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily." The point of the parable is to draw a contrast between this judge and our loving Heavenly Father. It's an argument known as, and I hope I pronounce it right, a fortiori. It's kind of like a meaning where if you draw one conclusion, if you accept this conclusion in this one circumstance, and this other circumstance, there's even stronger evidence for it, then obviously this is true also. Kind of if A is true and B is an even stronger argument, then of course B has to be true as well. And so Jesus is teaching us, if even this unrighteous judge who doesn't care about God or anybody else will listen to this, you know, woman with no power, no authority, if even in this circumstance he will answer her because of her persistence. If that's true, if you can imagine that, then just realize how much God, who loves us, who gave his son for us, who wants the best for us, just think how much more he is willing to hear us out in our prayers. And again, the whole point of this is talking to people so that they would be encouraged and not lose heart and not forget how much God loves them and is there for them. This parable is given to a group of people who possibly endured a persecution and trials and temptations that frankly, I can't relate to. You know, me even, you know, just as I was speaking earlier, we just got done with the holiday season and all the gifts and the good food and being in a warm house and, you know, all these things that I just take for granted. And, you know, here Christ is speaking to people who may not have had those things. People who may have been struggling and maybe had a little bit of that mindset of, you know, thoughts and prayers. I need strength. I don't want to lose heart. And Jesus tells them, people who are going through so much, do not lose heart. I am here for you and I hear you. And I will take care of anything that's going on in your life if you're persistent in talking to me. That is a powerful encouragement. And, you know, I think to, again, to myself, like the things that I go through, you know, God will take care of. If he's talking to people facing that kind of persecution and he's telling them, do not worry, do not lose heart, do not faint, do not grow weary. I am there for you and I will be there for you speedily. I know that God will be there for me as well. And I'm reminded of what God has told us, that for those who love God, all things work together for good. We can believe that. Because if an uncaring judge would answer that widow, we know our loving God will certainly answer and hear us. And then the last verse we'll consider from Luke 18, verse 8. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? And there's a little wouldn't say debate, but knowing exactly what Christ is referencing here. Is he referencing the end times when he comes back? I just know we can apply it to ourselves, in that will God find faith in us? Will he find faith in me whenever it is my time, whenever the time is that I will face that? Will he find faith in me? Will I have been persistent in prayer? Will I have been faithful? So I hope all of us, each of us, ask ourselves this morning, how are we in our prayer life? Are we as persistent? Do we love God and know that he is listening to us the way that we should? Will he find faith in us? If you need help in that, if you need the prayers of the church, again, they are effective. They will change lives. They can help you in so many ways beyond our comprehension. But if you need those prayers or you need any assistance, we stand ready to help you as you need, if you'll come forward as we stand and sing.